Hallelujah. So we will continue with what we started off last week. Last week, what did we learn? Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is not Sunday school. We learned about Abraham and Isaac. We are learning about the fear of man, okay, versus the fear of God. God says that, fear the Lord, all ye what? Saints, because there is no want for those who fear the Lord. Hallelujah. If you fear God, and that's our theme for the year, if you fear God, you will not, there will be provision. There will be provision. There will be provision. Put that thing back on the screen. Do you believe this scripture? Then do your part. And what is your part? Fear the Lord. Amen. You know, it's almost 3 months since we started teaching about this thing. Today I realized, I said, my God, it's almost a quarter of the year we've been teaching about this thing. We are not even done. Amen. Maybe we'll interrupt this thing and after resurrection we'll continue. But there's so much to learn about this thing. Hallelujah. And so Abraham didn't do too well concerning the fear of the Lord. In certain situations, he was afraid of man more than God. And he failed in some places to rely on God's promises because of the fear of man. Amen. And so even when God gave him the promise about Isaac, and Sarah said, take this Egyptian maid and make babies for me, Abraham should not have listened to his wife. Amen. Amen. I'm not breaking marriages, but sometimes don't listen to your wife. That's why, husband, before you say anything to your wife, you have to be godly. Amen. And wives, before you say anything to your husband, you have to be godly. Make sure that what you are saying is from God. Don't say something, husband, out of pressure. Amen. Sarah gave Hagar out of pressure. Are you with me? And Abraham, Abraham was afraid of his wife. Not in the sense that the wife would beat him up or do something to him, no. But in his fear, you see, his fear for him would have translated to rejection of his wife. Are you with me? So how would Sarah feel? Okay. How would my wife feel? How would Sarah feel? All these years, Sarah has been waiting and people are calling her barren. How would she feel? So Sarah has brought an alternative. Okay, let me help Sarah out so she doesn't feel bad. It's the fear of man. It's the fear of man. Because what has God said? Amen. Today we are going to talk about how to overcome the fear of man. Amen. We're going to go into, we'll look at certain nuggets today. And then next week we'll look at a story. Okay. Next week we'll look at a story, but today we'll look at the nuggets. But let's start off with the promises of God. I just want to read three passages from Isaiah, and then we will look at Timothy, and then we'll move on. So Father, we thank you for today. Holy Spirit, we bless you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you that you've already blessed us. You've already delivered us. You've already healed us. Oh, your presence has been soothing to us. Your presence has been peace to us. Your presence has been joy to us. Father, thank you for our deliverance. And Father, as we get into your word, Holy Spirit, we know that our sufficiency will always be of you. And so we come to you to help us again. That as we preach the word, that we will preach in boldness, that we'll preach in the truth, that, Lord, our lives will not be the same. Father, transform us with your word. Transform us with your word. Convict us with your word. Put your words in my mouth. Give us the grace to hear and the grace to preach your word. We hold captive every thought. Any devil or demon that will whisper in anybody's ear or will distract anybody, we bind that demon. We take authority over that demon. We release ourselves to hear the word, and we declare that we will mix it with faith and that this word will profit us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says when they heard the word, they didn't mix it with faith, so it didn't profit them. They heard the word all right. But the Bible says in Hebrews, they didn't mix it with faith. So the word did not profit them. I pray that we will mix this word with faith. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 to 2. How to overcome the fear of man. But now, so we're reading about what God is saying to us, okay? Because this is what God is to us. This is what God is telling us. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you. Put your name there. Okay? Thus says the Lord, who created you. He who formed you, put your name there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are what? Mine. This is what God is saying. Do not be afraid. I've redeemed you. You know what redemption is. I've already paid a heavy price for you by the blood. Okay. And it says, I've called you by name. It says, I have called you by your name. So God knows you. And he says, you are mine. You are mine. Okay? And then verse 2, it says that, so that the tough situations will come when you pass through the waters. I will do what? And when you go through the rivers, the difficult situations, they shall not what? Overflow you. When you walk through what? The fire. You shall not be what? Be burned. Nor shall the flames scorch you. Did God prove this thing in his word? Do we have evidence of this? That happened to some people in the word? That some people went through fire and they were not burned? That some people walked through water and it didn't overflow them? So God is not lying. Hello? God is not lying. So if I were you, I would take this scripture and let it manifest in my life. Amen? This is the promise of God for my life. For your life. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Please. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Fear not. Again, God is saying, fear not. For what? I am with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. For what? I will do what? I will strengthen you. I will do what? I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My God. Have you seen? Some of us are like this in the sight of God. God will just carry us like that. When trouble comes, have you seen? when the kids won't remember, but some of them, I will just pick them up like that with one hand. Yeah, that's how God does. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm just using that as a figure of speech. But God is trying to say that I will be with you. I will help you. I will deliver you. That's what God is saying to us. So don't be discouraged, because he's what? Your God. Do you have a God? Do you have a God? You sure? Okay, this is your God. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 7 to 8. Isaiah 51, 7 to 8. It says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men. Do not fear the reproach of men. Nor be afraid of their insults or their insinuations, of their trepidations, of their threats. Don't be afraid. Verse 8. For the moth will eat them up like what? Hey. And the worm will eat them up like what? But my righteousness will be forever. And my salvation will be from what? Generation to generation. God is saying that that person that you should not be afraid of, he will destroy that person. That's why he warned Abimelech. Abimelech, be careful. You've touched a prophet's wife. You better release him and let him pray for you. Hallelujah. So these are the promises of God. And when we know these promises, it should help us to be calm. Hallelujah. It should help us to make wise decisions when it comes to the threats of man. Amen. So how did we define? I'm going to define this again. Let me read it. Let me go back. The fear of man, because some of you were not here. So the fear of man is the negative influence, the intimidations, the manipulations, and the threats that a human being poses to another person against their convictions, truths, and beliefs. The fear of man is the negative influence, the intimidations, the manipulation, and the threats that someone poses to another person against that person's conviction, truths, and beliefs. So I believe in this thing. But that person poses a certain threat that is trying to bring down my belief. That is opposed to what I believe in, my conviction. The man says, listen, it's okay we can have sex without marriage. It's okay. But my conviction is God says no, it's fornication. But the man says, it doesn't matter. We can do it, and after that, God will forgive us. Have you seen but the man is paying your school fees. And the man is giving you money every week. And the man says, I will cut off that money if you don't compromise your beliefs and your faith. That's man. Man will always blackmail another person. Hallelujah. And so sometimes with the fear of man, we do what? We compromise. But we have to understand our convictions, and we have to know the promises of God for our life. Daniel could have compromised. Shadrach, Meshach, all of them could have compromised. Paul, Peter, all of them could have compromised, but they did not. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So in the case of the Christians, usually against the word of God or the instruction the believer has received from God. In some cases, this negative influence and threat or intimidation can also come from a group of individuals or even an organized body. Okay. And so, let me use a modern day example. If you go to any Jewish neighborhood or any synagogue, they barricaded the place and they have extra security because there's what we call anti-Semitism in this country right now, where people hate the Jews. I don't even know for what reason. Okay. So all of a sudden, a group of people say, we hate these people, this group of people, because they are Jews. Or we hate them because they are black. Or we hate them because they are white. I used to have this driver. Oh, God. He hated white people. Hey, I'm not kidding. He caused me so much trouble because of that hatred. No white person could give that man instructions. He was a black guy. Hate is a very terrible thing. Hate is a very terrible thing. Okay. So let's go back. Let's go to today's lessons. Having known the promises of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Today we are just getting nuggets. Okay, nuggets to how to overcome the fear of man. We are looking at biblical examples, okay, ways to overcome. It's going to be interesting. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Therefore, I remind you, this is Paul speaking to young Timothy, okay? Timothy at this point was a pastor in the church of Ephesus. He was the pastor of the church there. And Paul is writing to him and giving him an example. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through what? The laying on of my hands. Verse 6. For, the word for is a bridge between verse 6 and verse 7. So I would say, stir up the gift, because God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay. It is only the King James and the New King James that translates the last bit as sound mind. But it's actually self-discipline or self-control. Okay. So let's look at the Amplified Version in verse 7. Just verse 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 in the Amplified Version. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, for God, you know, Timothy was called the timid pastor. That's how theologians call him, the timid pastor. Okay. But here, Paul is telling him, for God did not give us a spirit of what? Timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. This is different from what I have. In the Amplified, I don't know which Amplified version, but this one is also good. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. So this is what God has given us. Okay, this is what God has not given us. He has not given us the spirit to be timid, okay, that we cannot be cowards. We cannot cringe. We cannot fawn when we see fear. Right? Okay. Okay. But he's given us a spirit of what? Power. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. You have to know what you carry. Hello? When it comes to the fear of man, know what you carry as a believer. Okay? Power, love, calm and well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. Hallelujah. Timothy, why is Paul telling Timothy this? Let's look at a little background of this guy. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Let's look at who he is. Let's do this quickly. Today is more Bible study. I told you, looking at certain nuggets in the scriptures. But we are starting off with this. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, this is Paul, okay, on the second missionary journey. And a certain disciple was there named Timothy, okay. And this is Timothy. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. So, his mother was Jewish, but his father was Greek. So Timothy was of mixed origin. Are you with me? Timothy, in Africa, we say he was half caste. I don't know where they got that thing from. But he was of mixed origin, okay? In this country, they will say, if it's mixed, if a white man if a black man or a white woman, if there's mixed races, they say the person is black, right? They won't say the person is white. I don't even know why we. I don't know where they got that from. Oh, that's why half is caste. Okay. So Timothy was a son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So this is Timothy's background. It means that there's a problem already, because when he goes to the Jewish side to preach, there's trouble because he's tainted. He's Greek. He's half Greek. Okay. And then he was also a young pastor. And if you read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I'm letting you know about the threats that Timothy faced. The fear of man. Okay. Paul doesn't just write things for nothing. Paul wrote the scripture that we read to Timothy because of all this. Because there was a threat of man in this young pastor's life whilst he pastored the church. Ephesus was a very tough place. It was not an easy church. That environment was tough. And so Timothy had to be a tough person. But Timothy was timid because of his surroundings, because of who he was, because of his background. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, you should never let your background make you become timid. Oh, you didn't hear me. Today I'm not preaching with that fire because I'm trying to teach. Okay? Don't let your background, never your background, okay, hinder you or make you timid. And say, because I'm white, I can't fit in the black community. No. Or because I'm black, I can't fit in this community. Have you seen why when we go to places where all the white people gather together, all the black people gather together, aren't we all human beings? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible spirit. It was created by the devil. Are you with me? Because I don't feel welcome. I don't feel welcome in your company. But why am I not feeling welcome in your company? I should be bold and come and sit next to you and have a conversation with you. But the moment I walk in the door and I see, ooh, a certain, you know, color, all of a sudden I become, okay. Then I start to look at, where should I sit? You know, I'm talking practical things. Or you walk into an office and you see a certain color. But the moment you see your own color, now all of a sudden, you don't go to that other color. You go to that and ask them questions. That's what this thing does to us. And that's the same situation that Timothy faced as a young pastor. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says, don't let any man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. But he said, don't let anybody. Don't let, Timothy, you are young and you are pastoring probably, 70-year-olds and 50-year-old people that are versed probably in the scriptures more than you. But don't let that intimidate you. Are you with me? Don't let that intimidate you. They made you the head of the company. They made you the supervisor. But the people that you are supervising, they are all older than you. Paul says, don't let that intimidate you. Are you with me? Don't let that situation intimidate you. Let no one despise your youth. But rather, be an example. It means that God saw something in you. That's why he gave you that promotion. So let that thing be an example to those people. Are you with me? You remember the story of the old prophet and the young prophet? If that old prophet was well, God wouldn't send him, the young prophet, all the way to come and prophesy in his town. Hallelujah. So if those people were qualified, God would not have promoted you to become the supervisor or the head of that company. Are you with me? Okay. The fear of man. So Timothy faced the issue of ridicule and rejection. In the New Living Translation, it says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Hallelujah. So let them see the reason why you were promoted on that job. Let them see the reason why after about 20 interviews, you were the one that they picked. Hallelujah. Even the boss's son was rejected, but you were picked. Hey, glory be to God. So the first thing we see in the fear of man, because Paul said something. But in the scripture that we read, it says God has not given the spirit of timidity and cowardice, right? And fear. But it's given the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So the first thing we see is power. So number one, Number one, how do we overcome the fear? You have to walk in boldness at all times. That boldness only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. So number one, you have to walk in boldness at all times. Amen. It will take boldness for you to go and sit next to that person that hates you. Are you with me? You walk in that room and you know this person hates you. They hate you. You've done nothing wrong to them, but because of your color, they hate you. It will only take boldness of the Holy Spirit. Other than that, you go and sit where they want you to sit. Oh, I didn't say something. I said you go and sit where they want you to sit. You relegate yourself to where they want you to be. But where does God want you to be? It is boldness that will make you be, sit, or be where God wants you to be. I'm speaking figuratively here. So says Timothy, the spirit that you've received is boldness. It gives you boldness. So you have to walk in boldness at all times. It's a conscious effort that you make. Knowing who lives in you, I've told you, know who you carry. Amen. Amen. Your flesh will fight it. Hallelujah. I said your flesh will fight it. There are some places that go, oh, I'm shy, so I can't talk. That's your flesh talking. Hello? That's my flesh talking. Shy of what? When he says he's giving the spirit of what? Power, boldness. Hallelujah. Other than that, you will sit, you will be quiet, and then the promotion that is due you, they will give it to another person on the job because you didn't speak, because you were shy to go speak to the boss and address the situation. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, Bible says, the righteous is as bold as what? Anybody knows a lion? The lion is fearless. I said the lion is fearless. But the Bible is saying the wicked flee when nobody is after them. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. They run away. But the righteous is as bold as a lion. But how come sometimes we run away? The fear of man. Amen. So the first thing is that you need to walk in what? Boldness. We're looking at nuggets. Nuggets to overcome the fear of man. You see, all this thing is not by my strength. It's because of who I carry. He's the one that gives me the power to overcome the fear of man. Peter, the one who feared a little servant of the high priest. You remember Peter? He feared a little girl. But when the Holy Spirit came upon the guy, my God, Peter stood in front of the Sanhedrin, stood in front of the high priest and all. He said, you, do you think we should listen to you or we should listen to God? Hallelujah. The second point, he says, he has not given the spirit of what? Fear, power. He's given us power and the spirit of love. You have to love God, his work, and his children. That's number two. Number two. You'll say, how does this relate to the fear of man? Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Let's read the New Living Translation. I'll show you something. You have to love God, his work, and his children. His God's family. God, because God has a family. Amen. You can't go and love the devil's family above God's family. It is wrong. Sometimes we do that, but it is wrong. The New Living Translation says, we know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. I love this one. And God lives in them. God is love. All who live in love, all who abide in love, all who live in love, live in God. And God lives in them. Hallelujah. 17, please. And as we live in God, listen, As we live in God, our love grows what? More perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Because our love, because we have grown in love. When you grow in love, okay, nobody can point a finger at you. Amen. Because when you grow in love, you live right. That's what the scripture is telling us. Because God is love. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. So the one that is living in and walking in love is not afraid of any judgment. So Nebuchadnezzar can make a decree. The one living in love is not afraid of the judgment. Are you with me? Herod can make a decree. Because the person is living in love, that decree doesn't matter to that person walking in love, because God is love. And there's no judgment against the person walking in love. That's why it says that God does not give you the spirit of fear and intimidation and cowardice, but he's given the spirit of power and of love. So this love, okay, when you walk in this love, there is no judgment against you. My God. It says, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Amen. Now go to verse 18. Let me show you something. Such love has fear. I said such love has fear. Such love has no fear. Because perfect love does what? Expels all fear. That's what I'm saying. Let them pass the decrees. Let them conspire against you on the job, in the business. Let them conspire against you. But God, because you walk in love, God, there's no judgment against you. That's when God will stand in the courts of heaven and plead your case. Amen. Ah, yeah. That's why I said, Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear and timidity and cowardice. But he's given you a spirit of what? Of power, of love, of self-discipline. So he says, if we are afraid, it is because of the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Oh, are you reading with me? Or am I boring you? Huh? Last week, God said to this church, we should walk in love. You remember? When God says something, he said it. He knows why. So we better walk in love. So if we are afraid, it is the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his love. But the Bible says, as we abide in him, as we live in love, then we are growing in this love. And there is no judgment against us. Amen. That's why I can stand in front of God and say, God, I forgive Brother Dan. And so God, forgive me. He says, forgive them their trespass as they've forgiven. And he says that if they do not forgive, then you, there's one part. I think in Matthew, he says that if they don't forgive, then you, God will also not forgive them. Is that what the scripture says? Yeah. So if I forgive Brother Dan, then I can go to the courts of heaven and say, that's love. I forgive you because I love you. Then guess what? Then I can go to the courts of heaven and say, God, I forgive Brother Dan. And so you too forgive me for this fault. So instead of demotion on the job, they won't demote me. Although I made a mistake, I will not be demoted. That's when God stands and fights on our behalf. Because perfect love casts away all fear. Hallelujah. That's what that scripture means. That's why I say that spirit that we carry, it helps us to what? To love God. Hallelujah. Number three, determine in your heart to obey God and his word. Determine in your heart. You see, obedience. Nobody can obey God for you? Nobody can do that for you. I cannot obey God for you. You cannot obey God for me. So determine in your heart to obey God and His word. Constantly renew your mind with the word. This will help you cultivate self-discipline. That's why the King James used the word sound mind. So, determine in your heart to obey God and His word. Constantly renew your mind with the word. This will help you cultivate what? Self-discipline. Do you know what it means? As you read the word of God, it will tell you, do this, don't do that. Don't slap your wife. Hey, don't slap your husband. The word of God will tell you. Are you with me? Because of your background, sometimes your flesh would want you to slap your husband. You people, when I say this, and you people, listen, this is happening in the church. Yesterday, Tolu, didn't we watch some programs? I'm telling you. Ashley was there. She was there. Yesterday, we watched two episodes of this program. I won't watch it again. It's okay. Because my heart was broken after that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm done. No more. These are people in the church. Okay? The man slept with 10 women in the church. He's not an ordinary guy. He's here. He's not there. He's here. He's here. What will cause... And he fathered a child. Oh, God. He fathered a child with a woman in the church. And his wife is sitting here. And the child and the woman is... Nobody knows that child is the man. The man's standing here. And so they asked him, is it only 10? He says, no, there are 10 more outside. But he has this in his hands. Okay, so you say he's a bad guy, right? No. He's not a bad guy. Something in his background. Something in his youth when he was growing up. Something. The devil has a hold of him. One part of his life. So one part loves this thing. But another part is dirty and ugly. The only thing is a determination to live by this thing. That's where deliverance is. I've told you, deliverance is not always somebody laying hands on you and then you fall down and it's... No! Oh, the lady, the hostess will say, when you fall down, do what? Get up. Yeah, that's what he does. He said, when you fall down, get up. Yeah. He'll say, what happened to you when you fell down? Get up and begin to live by this thing. Everybody has a wrong childhood. I'm telling you, there was another woman. That was the second episode. Oh, God, help me. I'm telling you. Hey, I have to tell you this thing. So that you, this is real life. This is real life. Okay? She was put in foster home when she was young. When she was born, the father and mother didn't take her, so they just put her in foster home. She grew up. Then this guy came and married her. He says, I love you. I'll marry you. 30 days after the marriage, the guy started cheating on the woman. 20 years into the marriage, the guy comes back and say, I didn't even love you. When I proposed to you, I didn't mean it. Am I lying? One, two, three, they are my witnesses. We watched it together. It was live. So I'm not making up stories. Who was this guy? He's also standing behind the pulpit. Preaching the word. There's so much brokenness. When they asked him, why are you behaving like this? Because he was addicted to pornography. He says, when I was what, 2 years, something, 4 years? 4 years old, somebody abused me. So if you don't know the word, and you go and marry a man like that, the man says, will you marry me? Oh, yes, I'll marry you. You don't even ask God, who is this guy who's trying to marry me? Who is this guy? Yes, he's marriageable material, but is he ready to be married? I'm not saying don't marry. But you see all these people, you know what they are carrying? People say, I do. Why is it that 50% of Christian marriages are breaking up? I hear it's over 50% now, but I don't know this. That it is over 50%. Christian marriage, I'm not, forget about the unbelievers. We have nothing to do with them. They can, we'll preach to them so they come into the kingdom. Okay, but why is it that Christian marriages, people who hold the word, people who say they love God, why are their marriages failing? So how did we get to this place? Let's go back to the word. Determined to obey. Yes. Yes. Determining your heart to obey the word of God. Determining your heart. Irrespective of your background, your father didn't take care of you. Your mother didn't take care of you. Your father abused you. Your mother abused you. Something happened. But there's hope in the word. There's hope in the Lord. Listen, the story is not over. Until God says it's over, it's not over. I said, until God says it's over, it's not over. But our deliverance is in this thing here. Amen. This one I watched it by myself. There was a popular Christian singer. I won't mention his name. I told you the story. Lexi interviewed him. Everybody suspected the guy was something. No. Everybody suspected. Because the way he would dress and come on stage and all that, say, this guy. So Lexi decided to interview him. Okay. In that interview, the woman got him to confess that he was gay. But the man's voice and the talent that the guy carried. The man is singing to us, but he's sleeping with a man. What spirit is he releasing out there? I'm telling you what is real here. Okay. His father was a pastor. And he says, you can't tell me who to love. We cannot judge those who have the persuasion to love other people. He says, this is how I feel. In fact, I felt for him. As a pastor, he said, this is how I feel. I cannot feel any other way to love another man, not a woman. So what is that feeling? What is it that came in this guy's heart? When Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, and he created man and woman. But how come this man is attracted to only man? And he says, this is how I feel. He says, they've prayed for me. I've gone through all their deliverance. And this is how I am. So now he's become callous. He said, nothing can change me. That's not true. He's living a lie. Something can change him. I said, if he determines to do this thing, he will change. Because the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. These words are spirit. You see, I can take a torch and burn this thing right now, but the words won't die. Because these words are what? Spirit. Do you know how many times they tried to burn the Bible? Huh? In the times of Tyndale and all those people who were trying to translate the Bible, they used to cut out the Bible and burn them. Still, because it is spirit and it is life. So we cannot sit around, the message has changed. We cannot sit around moping and mourning. Yes, your background, we know that. Even God knows your background. Even God knows your background. That's why Paul told Timothy, hey buddy, don't let them despise your youth. Because the spirit you carry is too powerful. So you have to determine in your heart to do what? To obey the word of God. So study. If you don't study, you cannot obey. Are you with me? Okay. Hey, some people. Do you know that some people, have you seen a wound? A wound, right? I don't want to do. Sometimes you have a wound. And then the wound is healing. but the wound is not completely healed, then you stop going to the wound nurse. You stop the wound nurse from helping you. You know the wound will get worse. Sometimes that's how we are. We get a little relief. The pastor prayed for me, or somebody, the prophet said something. But then we don't go back to reinforce. That's what the Bible says, be transformed. Metamorphosis. Continuous. By the renewing of what? Your mind. It can only happen by the word of God. That you live in this word. Hey, God, I am determined to obey your word. This is what you have said. Oh, this week I was blessed by this man of God. He says in Romans chapter 8, I believe, he says, the one who did not spare his only son, will he not freely give you all things? If God did not spare his son, will he not deliver me? What is the worst thing God could have done? Kill his own son. Will he not deliver me if I go to him with my problems? Ah. Amen. He did not spare his son. Can we read that scripture? Please. Romans chapter 8. I believe it's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He says, the one who did not spare his only son. Okay, don't worry. We'll continue this thing, and then next week we'll continue. We are not in a hurry, are we? Okay. We need to be blessed. Whatever God is telling us, we'll do. All these things I didn't mean to say. I was just going to go over my nuggets, but the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. What then shall we say if God is for us? Verse 31 says, what then shall we say? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for what? Us. Who can be against us? Verse 32. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Have you read this scripture before? You sure? I said, have you read this scripture before? Are you sure you've read it before? Are you 100% sure you've seen this in the Bible? Some of you, it's not in your Bible. Some of you, verse 32 is not there. But let me tell you something. You see, these words, they have to move from here to here. Did you hear what I just said? They have to move from here, the pages of this book, here. That's the only way by which you can conquer that situation. Since he did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And so sometimes we give the excuse, this is how I am. Take me or leave me. We will leave you. We will not take it. Because after 20 years, you come and tell me I didn't even mean it. So we will leave you. Because that is not how God created you to be. So you can't tell me this is how I am. Did you hear me? We will leave you. I said, we will leave you behind. Because we know that this is not how God created you. So you can't tell me that this is how I am. No, this is not how you are. Because God didn't create you like that. It was somebody that came in and messed up things. When God said everything was very good, it was very good. But how come some bad came in? Somebody, you see, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. So we know that this is not how you are supposed to be. So don't tell me, this is how I am. Take me or leave me. We will leave you. Because if we go with you 20 years, you come and tell me, I didn't even mean it when I proposed to you. Are you with me? Bishop, I didn't even mean to be here. in this church. Okay? We will leave you. We will leave you. But if God has planted you here, if God has planted you here, then you better work. Because this is where your blessing is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, yesterday, a couple days ago, we were having a conversation about men of God and all that. God's work will always continue. We are just vessels. Me, I'm a vessel. God can decide to kill me even tomorrow, even the next minute, next hour, and put somebody else here. Because it's not my work. Did I die for anybody? I didn't die for anybody. I don't think I can die for anybody. Not even my wife. I can't die for anybody. Only Jesus died for all of us. Are you with me? So when we are put in a certain position, it is only by the grace of God that we can survive that position. And we have to comply with the word. So I cannot say, when my wife corrects me, okay, says, when you are talking, talk this way. I cannot say, this is how I am. Take me or leave me. She will leave me. I hope you leave me. Because if you take me, you will suffer with my trouble. I'm not saying go and leave your husband. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying go and leave your marriages. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? The spirit of what I'm saying is that don't tolerate bad behavior. That's what I'm trying to say. And don't justify bad behavior. Because sometimes we love to justify bad behavior. Because sometimes it gives us what? Notoriety. You know, this is how they... Have you seen some people, because of their foolish behavior, they become famous? Yeah. And so they'll say, this is how I am. That's not how you are. But it's only the world that accepts bad things. So when you see somebody cursing, say, ah, he's a good man. He's a bold man. Oh, yeah, the world would cheer you on. But for the Christian, we will not cheer you on. Because that's not how God did it. And it was very good. He never created a cursing Adam. He never created a cheating Adam. Are you with me? A pornographic Adam? No. Adam, can you imagine Adam beating Eve? Hey, God won't be happy. Okay, let's move on. The fourth point here. Okay. Sometimes you have to hide. In dealing with man, sometimes you have to hide and pray. Shut yourself in. You have to hide and pray. You have to shut yourself in and pray. In dealing with the fear of man. And I'll show you practical examples from the scriptures. Okay? There's a place for boldness. But there's a time when you are dealing with the fear of man, you have to hide. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 25. Let's read it quickly. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 25. Then the same day at evening, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut. Why were the doors shut? Because at that time, Jesus had been crucified. Okay? And any one of Jesus' disciples, if they know you, they will kill you. Hello? I said Jesus at this time had been crucified. And they were looking for his disciples to kill. Anybody that followed Jesus, they were not happy. The Jews were not happy with them. Okay, so what they did was that in the evening, the first of the week, when the doors were shut, they shut themselves in where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus, look at what happened. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. If you were stupid and you went out on the street proclaiming that I am Jesus' disciple, you can't do anything, they will cut your head off. Yes. So sometimes you have to hide and pray. But you see, the good part is that when you hide and pray, something will come into that room. I said, in your hideout, in your shutting, something will enter that room. You think they knew Jesus was going to appear in that room? No. It's just like those guys in the upper room. They were just praying and waiting. They never knew when the Holy Spirit would appear. And the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit just came in like a mighty rushing wind because they had shut themselves in. Hallelujah. So, when it comes to some of the threats and some of the, it is not a matter of being a champion. Okay? You need a certain power behind you first to go and attack. When the Holy Spirit came, do you know they were out there boldly? They couldn't even shut them in. Okay, what, number five. Sometimes you have to run away. You have to run away from the situation because you don't have the capability to deal with it yet. Is it number five? Okay, you have to run away from the situation because you do not have the capabilities to deal with it yet. And I use the word yet because I'll prove a point to you that every situation will be conquered, but it's the timing of God. And sometimes we have to endow ourselves with certain capabilities before we can go and meet Goliath. Amen. So if you haven't killed the bear and you haven't killed the lion, you cannot conquer Goliath. Hello? You think David just went out there and conquered Goliath? No. He says, I killed the bear. I killed the lion with my hands. God had trained the guy. So the guy was capable of defeating Goliath. That's why Saul ran away. Saul had not killed the bear. And Saul, Abner, they had not killed the bear and they had not killed the lion. But God had trained David. And so David had built the capacity. Amen. So when everybody else was hiding, and it was good they hid, because Goliath had chopped their head, killed them. He would kill them. Acts chapter 9, verse 20 to 25. I'll prove my point here. Let's read it quickly. We won't finish this thing. We'll continue next week. This is point number five, right? Okay. So this is Paul, okay? It says immediately, this is when Paul, remember Saul who became Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was persecuting the Christians. And then in Acts chapter 9, Jesus met him on the way to Damascus. He was going to Damascus to go and kill the Christians. But Jesus met him on the way and he got converted. Okay. So the Bible says immediately he got converted. He preached Christ in the synagogues after his blindness left him. He preached that Jesus was the Christ, the one that was fighting against that same thing. Verse 21. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that very purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? So they were still afraid of Paul. Verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. So he was challenging the Jews, the very people he was with, killing the disciples. Now they were against each other. Okay, verse 23. Now after many days, listen to this. After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Oh. So the intimidation and the threats came. But now, we've moved to murder. You have to run. Because you don't have the capability yet to handle this thing. After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Verse 24. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So the man is like being here, right? Being in Purpose Ministries right now in this building. But they've surrounded the whole building. How do you escape? They were watching day and night. We go through the roof and a helicopter takes us away. And they watch the gates day and night to kill him, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large what, basket. This is Paul. Now let's look at the details of this story. So later on, in his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul gave details of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 32. 2 Corinthians 11, 32 and 33. Are you learning something? Sometimes you have to run because you don't have the capability to handle this yet. He says, the Jew, Paul is recounting the same story. In Damascus, the governor, Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison designed to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from my hands. Sorry, and escaped from his hands. So you see how they think. Even they got the governor involved. So sometimes the authorities are too powerful for you. You have to run because you don't have the capabilities yet. Amen. Paul had just become a Christian. Understand that. God was still training him. And so it's like, let me give this example. It's like going to a school. Let's say the school is called Purpose Ministry School. But there are different grades. Amen. There are different grades in the school. Some of them are somebody's in grade one, first grade. Somebody's in second grade. But somebody is in high school. The one in high school is more knowledgeable than the one in first grade. Are you with me? And so the one in first grade has to be trained all the way into high school. Then we can release them to go to college. Amen. So sometimes when you are in first grade, you have to run to your teacher. Amen. High school, you can deal with certain situations. When they bully you, you bully them too. First grade, you run to your mother and you run to your... Because you haven't built capacity. Are you with me? Can you imagine a fourth grader trying to bully a high schooler? Can you imagine? But when a high schooler is trying to bully you first grade, you better run. Because you haven't built capacity yet. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. Okay? It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. That is why when Daniel prayed, they had to bring a certain archangel. They didn't just bring an ordinary angel because they were dealing with a certain principality. Only the archangel could deal with that principality. Because he even hindered the messenger. Hello? So in the spiritual realm, they are rank. In the angelic realm, they are rankings. In the physical realm, they are rankings. Hallelujah. So, if you have not built the capacity or the capability to handle a certain situation, just run away. God will still fight that battle for you. Amen. Because remember, there's purpose over your life. If Aretas had killed Paul, the story would have been over. You hear what I'm saying? If Paul had jumped, if Paul said, okay, I've become a Christian now. Who is King Aretas and his God? I'm coming out. But Paul says, they led me through a basket. Gone. Wisdom. So that he will build what? Capacity. Later on, Paul will stand before the Roman emperor. Can you imagine? Caesar. Paul. This guy. Man. Because at that time, the guy had built what? Capacity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, Mary and Joseph, they ran away with baby Jesus. Hello? Herod posed a threat. God said, take the baby to Egypt. Are you telling me God was afraid of Herod? Huh? God was not afraid of Herod. God was not afraid of Herod at all. God was not. In fact, God could have protected even Paul or Saul against King Aretas and his garrison. But God was trying to teach us something. Building capacity in him. Amen. So sometimes you have to run. If you have to take baby Jesus to Egypt, go to Egypt. God will protect you. That is only when God tells you go to Egypt. Don't be like Abraham. When God hasn't told you go to Egypt, don't go. We know the effect. Amen. You'll come back with extra. Exactly. So don't do that. All right? Okay. Let's end here. Let's end here. Next week we'll continue. We'll look at 1, 2. Okay. So we'll look at 2 more and then we'll look at our story next week. Okay? Amen. Let's end here. Thursday, come to Bible study. We might even look at the other 2 so that we don't have to look at it next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you learn something? Okay. I know I digressed a little bit, but it was okay for us to encourage us that no matter what our backgrounds are in life, we can still make it. But we cannot give excuses for our backgrounds. Amen. We can't say my father cheated on my mother, so I have to also cheat on my mother, on my wife. I can't say that. I have to do better. I said I have to do better. If my father cheated on my mother, I cannot, because of this, I cannot cheat. If my father murdered somebody, I cannot murder somebody. But what I need to understand is that spirit of murder still follows me. But I can only conquer that with this thing, the word of God. Hallelujah. Pray for yourself. I don't know which part of the message stood out to you. But there has to be something in the message that brought conviction to you. There has to be. And whatever it is, if it's building capacity to face that giant, then allow the Holy Spirit to walk you through. Allow him to train you to kill the bear. Allow him to train you to kill the lion so that you can face Goliath. And when you face Goliath, the nations will hail you. I said, when you face Goliath, the nations will hear your voice. They will hail you. But allow him to train you. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. For yourself. If you have to run away from the situation, just go and hide and pray. Pray. Go into a period of fasting and prayer and say, God, this thing is too big for me. I can only stay. This thing is, I cannot handle this situation. God, I am shutting myself in and I'm going to pray. I'm going to wait upon you till you show up. And he will show up. And he will show up. And he will show up. And so for some of you, you need to shut yourself in. Hallelujah. Oh, some of us, is love, is love. I love life. Neke sitoria peliki tania pukurwa kapalaya. I love life. I love life. Kepenia porukosko purwa kapalaya. I love life. I love for God. Perikataya. It says, if I abide in love, if I abide in him, and if I abide in love, God is love, hey, then I will not face any judgments. I cannot be judged by anybody. I cannot be judged by anybody. So some of us, it is our love life. Others is the Holy Spirit recognizing who we carry. That we cannot be cowards. We cannot be cowards. And so I pray, God, give me boldness. God, grant me boldness. God, help me to exercise boldness by the Holy Spirit. Help me to exercise boldness by the Holy Spirit. Lakasi kiriya borokos ke periya borokosi. kesketeria bala kaskeperia borokonda. Lekesketeria barikosko purwaka palaya. Nekesketeria benekontoria paliken baria borokonda. Oh boldness. Boldness. Love panekonda bala. Oh, spending time in the word. Ah, self-discipline, self-control. Yakapalia papon nebeli bukutu wakataya. Says the one that lacks self-control is like a city without walls. Anybody at all can evade it. But I refuse to lack self-control. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, self-discipline. Yakapa. It can only come through the word of God. Ah, that the word stays in my heart. Your word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Kapala kasikiria borokonda. Nepeni kalapa koskopo. Your word have I cannot sin against my wife. I cannot sin against my children. I cannot sin against my boss at work. I cannot sin against my supervisor. I cannot sin against my parents. I cannot sin against my friends. Your word have I hid in my heart. And so the Holy Spirit, Father, help us to restrain ourselves. The one that walks in the Spirit will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what the scripture says. The one that walks in the Spirit will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Hey, that you be a person of the Spirit. A person of the Spirit. A person of the Spirit. Father, help us. Hey, it's a time of renewal, you know. It's a time of renewal. Father, we come to you. Hey, God said, you see, that prophecy was not just for one person. It was for all of us. It was for all of us. Anytime a prophecy like that comes for a specific person, you know what? Everyone has to take hold of that prophecy. That we have been cold in certain areas of our life. We have relaxed in certain areas of our life. But today we come. We come for empowerment. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, fall afresh on us. Fall. It is a renewal. It is a renewal. It is a renewal. It is a renewal. That I will not come to church. I will not come to church as a matter of routine. I will not come. I will not come to Bible study as a matter of routine. Ah, I will not. I will not. I will not. But I will come with zeal and with fire. I cannot wait for Thursday to happen. I cannot wait. It's called zeal. It's called, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. May the zeal of the Lord consume you. Pray for that zeal. Pray for that zeal. Pray, because you are dead spiritually and you don't even see it. You are dead. You are dead spiritually. You are a walking dead person. Oh, some of you, walking dead. But today, may the Spirit give you life. May the Spirit give you life. May the Spirit give you life. May life come to you. May life come to you. May life come to you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your word. Oh, somebody needs to be saved. Somebody. If you are not born again, everything we talked about, you will not be able to do it, because it takes the Spirit of God to help you to do that. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So unless you give up your life to Jesus, and it's today, this is the hour, this is the time, this is the moment, unless you give up your life to Jesus, unless you surrender to Jesus, and you confess your sins to him. It says, if you confess your sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. Confess your sins and give up your life to him. That's the only way by which you can overcome that abuse. That's the only way by which you can overcome that situation, that childhood situation that is haunting you. That's the only way. It starts with you giving up your life to Jesus. You surrendering your life to Jesus, and the opportunity is yours. The opportunity is yours today. Give up your life to Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to come in right now, right now, right now. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to come into your heart, and he will come. and he will save you. If you did that, then you are saved. You are saved. If you genuinely did that, then you are saved. And you will never be the same again. Father, I pray for anyone that accepted Christ. Holy Spirit, hide them in you. And may they instantly experience your power in their lives. And we also pray for ourselves. Renew us, that the fear of man will not become a snare. Because your word says that fear of man will become a trap, a dangerous trap to us. But Lord, this day we free ourselves. We free ourselves from the fear of man. We free ourselves from the fear of man. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.